1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 19. I'm going to open my Bible to do it. I'm not going to read it on my tablet. I tell y'all all the time, I should probably practice what I preach. Be a good idea, right? Verse number 18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lost their value. Verse number 19, it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Today I want to preach on the cost of the gospel. If you want to keep your Bible in hand or lay it down, I don't mind. But we're going to go before the Lord in prayer, ask Him to touch the Word today. God, we thank You so much for who You are, being a miracle worker. Thank You, Lord, for giving us just a taste of Your power and demonstration in this house today. God, I pray that You would move upon my heart and my mouth today to speak the words from heaven, and that these sweet people would be good ground for the Word to grow and flourish. And I rebuke the enemy that would devour the Word and the seed that is within them, that's being placed within them. But also, God, that the enemy would not sow tares in good ground. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing for the Word of God. Before I get going today, I want to say thank you. And welcome to my friend Joe. Thank you for being here, buddy. I appreciate you as my friend. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you. When we talk about cost, you know, as I mentioned about the football game, a bottle of water, dare I say, $5. A hot dog, $6. A 44 ounce that I could get at happy hour at Sonic for how much? Anybody know? $2. Route 44 is pretty big, 44 ounces. Was a whopping $9 at this game. I seen a barbecue sandwich with chips for $16. That's a cost. It's an exaggerated cost because, I mean, they got me pinned in the stadium. If I leave to go get a cheaper burger, I can't come back in. My ticket's been scanned. When we talk about cost, we usually think in terms of money. We think in terms of how much is the electric bill this month? How much is that chicken at Three Forks? How much is the fish sandwich at Three Forks? By the way, I actually enjoy it. It's actually pretty good. Fish sandwich and Three Forks is actually pretty good. I had it about a week and a half ago. But we think about things in terms of cost, hopefully in terms of budget. I will not look at anyone because I do not know if you're looking at your spouse or someone else. But hopefully you think of cost in terms of budgeting and how much this will implicate other parts of our monthly budget and how this will implicate what I can buy later. And I may want a dress or a suit, but I bought 10 burgers at the Tennessee game and it cost $12 each and now I can't afford any of it. And so we think about what it costs in money. But really, cost is not just financial. There is cost in relationships. There is emotional cost. There is spiritual cost. Many times we may go through a tough season of relationships that really things, actions, decisions, they have a cost. We go through an emotional season, whether it's due to loss or even gain of an undesirable thing, and we go through emotional cost. We go through spiritual costs when we dedicate ourselves to the Lord or to the things of the world. There is a cost. Everything in life costs something. A college degree not only costs lots of money, but also costs lots of years of study and financial investment. Because you might think a college degree is merely just the payment of that institution to get the education, or maybe even just the time in which you dedicate your time to go to class and take study for the test and take the test. But there's also the cost in which you pay for gas to get to that institution. Or for the, if you don't drive and it's online, the technological cost to purchase the technology to receive that education. Everything in life has a cost. Even pursuing dreams come at a price. Maybe not just financial, but pursuing a dream may have a price of discipline and determination. And this same thought and pattern of a cost can be attributed to the gospel. The gospel is free in that salvation cannot be purchased. But it does cost because it demands our life in return. You see, I preach a unique gospel, not different than the Bible, but unique in the religious world in that you have to give up something to receive the gospel. This is not merely, the gospel does not merely entail a sinner's prayer. Sorry, not sorry. Sorry in the fact that I'm informing you of something maybe that the religious world has lied to you about, but I'm not sorry in that I'm telling you the truth so that you understand that the gospel costs something. Through the writings of 1 Peter, we see a couple of things. First, we see there is a cost we must pay to live for the gospel. I challenge you to read the book of 1 Peter. It has wrecked me this week. The cost is not loss, but honor. So many times we think of cost in that we're giving out things we consider be valuable, but the idea of what we pay for is that we would get something valuable in return. I purchased a hot dog yesterday, very expensive hot dog, as I said, in hopes that it would give me the value of the satisfaction of removing my hunger, in which it did. I purchased a Coca-Cola 44 ounce in hopes that it won't be healthy for me, but that somehow it would satisfy this desire for a sugary soda drink, which it did. But we trade cost for value. But that which we give up, we must understand the value of as well. And the cost of the gospel through the book of 1 Peter is that the cost is not that you will lose something, but that you will receive and are giving honor. Jesus already paid that high cost. The message of the gospel is that it's free because it has been paid for, as we read, by the blood of the Lamb of God. That spotless, sinless Lamb of God. I think being 2,000 years away from such sacrifice, we do not truly understand how big of a cost it was. That the God of all of heaven that made everything came down to become a man. Not just to become a man, as the Jews thought, to be this king and tear down the Roman Empire, but to become a man to die. To shed his blood for you. It's hard for us to comprehend. Hard for us to understand because it's been 2,000 years and there has not been anyone in our recent history or our grandfathers or our great-grandfathers or our great-great-grandfathers. There's not been anyone in our recent history of our lives that we can hear about that has died for us. But Jesus paid it. An eternity without him cost way more than what the gospel costs for you today. So we're going to talk about it. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4 kind of mentions in a roundabout way, I'll paraphrase and quote some parts of it. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you have to arm yourselves with that same attitude and be ready to suffer too. Oh, Pastor, you're preaching a really uplifting, encouraging message today. Thank you, because I didn't think it was. Because I would be amiss as a pastor to get up here and preach that the blessings and the favor of God is for you forever. And they are. But that doesn't come without a cost. You see, we cannot expect to walk in the path of the gospel as Jesus did and not expect suffering like he did. It would be very religious and Pharisee and Sadducee of us to think we're going to get in our synagogues and our churches and speak in tongues and dance and sing and shout, and it costs you nothing. Forewarning, if you can't tell, I'm going to cry a lot. Because that same attitude Jesus had, we have to be ready to suffer. I am not here today. Let me preface this before I get too deep into my message. I'm not here today to scare you. I do not intend to, but I do intend to prepare you. Because Peter was writing to the believers across Asia Minor who were enduring ridicule and persecution for following Jesus, because following Jesus had a cost in this time, socially, financially, in many cases, physically. Peter himself, they threatened to crucify him just like his Jesus, to make a mockery. And you know what he said? Oh, no, don't hang me upside down. Put my cross upside down. And they did. To truly follow Jesus, we have to recognize there is a cost. Though in modern Western society, don't think this is the case across the world, because there are Christians being killed for what they believe in. But in modern Western society, for the most part, we will not see physical persecution, although this week we certainly did. But the likelihood is 90% of us will never see that physical persecution. That's high likelihood many of us will die with these few things that persecute us. The cost of rejection. When you choose Christ, not everybody celebrates your decision. In fact, some people will distance themselves, which is the most painless form of rejection, even though it doesn't feel good. But many may even mock your convictions. They will label you narrow-minded. Peter reminds us that unbelievers are surprised when you no longer want to join them in their lifestyle anymore. There is a cost to the gospel, and rejection is one of them. There is a cost of suffering. The early church faced imprisonment, torture, and even death. In our context, the physical persecution may not be a daily reality for us, but there are sacrifices we make. We might lose business deals because of integrity. We might lose friends because of holiness. We might be excluded because we have faith. There is a cost of suffering. This week, I can tell you, you know me as someone who is extremely honest as a pastor. And I'll tell you, there was a moment this week where I wondered if I wanted to keep doing this. Not pastoring. You see, I could keep pastoring and not have the cost of the gospel. There's lots of those kinds of pastors in the world today. But this week I thought, do I want to keep preaching the truth, the gospel that costs? And it wasn't a 2-minute discussion with myself, just so you're aware. was not easily convinced that I wanted to keep preaching the gospel. But I thought that if I remained silent, someone would speak to my kids something else. Because to me, the cost of the gospel, from the situations we've seen and learned about this week on the news and all over social media, is that there is a family suffering because someone spoke the truth. Did I want to do that? And at first, I didn't. Because I love my family. But as I thought about how much I loved them, that love rose a passion inside of me that said, I love them more. I love them so much that I refuse to allow the lies of the enemy to destroy my family because of my silence. And I would much rather be persecuted, whether physically or not, whether rejection or not. I would much rather endure the cost of the gospel so that my kids were not destroyed. That the generation, and you may not have kids in this room, but I'm telling you today, you standing up and talking about the gospel, you preaching the gospel, you declaring the truth, is the cost of the gospel for the generation to come. Because it is not merely just the cost at which we walk down and we say a prayer and we walk away saying, I'm saved, bless God. We don't just go down in the water in Jesus' name and go, I'm delivered, bless God. We don't speak in tongues and say, oh, I got the presence and power of God within me, bless God. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm an apostolic. I run the aisles. I speak in tongues. I do. No, 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 no. Friend. There is a cost to this thing. And before you walk the path of this gospel, you need to know and be willing to pay the cost. Are you willing to lose the things of this world to gain the things of heaven? There's also a cost of holiness. 1 Peter 1 and 15 says, be holy in everything you do. Be just as God is, who chose you to be holy. Holiness cost us the fleeting pleasures of this sinful world. It demands separation from the world and dedication unto God. You see, holiness is not a list of rules of what to do, what to wear, how to act. It is not that. It is a separation from the things of the world and a dedication to the things of God. It is that I will not spend more time. This is holiness, by the way. I will not spend more time in the game or in my work than I do on my knees. I will not spend more time on the television than I do in the book. That's holiness. I will not wear the things of the world to fit in with the world, but rather things that separate me from the world to God. It's like this. Brother Wesley knows this well. An athlete who desires to be good at what he does and desires to pursue success. It cost him something. It cost him his Friday nights. Y'all think that's all it cost him? That's game day. He's pulling in here on Wednesday, leaving practice most of the time. And I appreciate his dedication to the house of God to say, oh, I need to go home, I need to shower, I need to take a nap, it's been long. No, I appreciate his dedication to say, I'm going to go right to church, because that's what's important. But it costs more than a Friday night game day. Matter of fact, it costs more than practice. Because he needs to work out. He's got to eat right. He's got to make sure he sleeps at night. He ain't staying up all night. He's got to be rested. Why? Because he's preparing for something. He's preparing for a game day to get success and win. And if you think being a child of God is going to be sitting here on this pew and God's going to return and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, I'm sorry. That's not the cost of the gospel. The cost of the gospel is that this pew is for me and my family to receive that which thus saith the Lord, and I'm going to take it back and we're going to reshape our life after it. It cost you something to live the gospel, to wear a crown in glory. Are you kidding me? The value of that crown is merely coming to church? Oh, no, friend, it is not. The value of that crown is self-denial to win an eternal reward. You have to understand the cost of the gospel. The value of eternity. Don't diminish it by mere religion activity. But we have to shift our mindset. Because so often we think the cost of the gospel is about just denying ourselves. And it has a lot to do with it. And it is a huge part of it. But we have to shift our perspective. Because it's not just about self-denial. It's about honoring, receiving honor, and giving honor to our God. You've heard me mention this before. I am puzzled, perplexed, if you would, by the idea that we, as humans, who did not make ourselves, who did not create ourselves. You didn't determine whether you had five fingers or six or three or two. If you were born with some kind of challenge physically or mentally or emotionally, you didn't get to choose that. And therefore, we think we can live our lives the way we want to without any guidance from anyone. I'm sorry, friend. Let me enlighten you today. Your life is built around the environment you put yourself in. You think you're making the decisions, but no, your environment is helping you make those decisions. That's why no man could sit around in a bar for days and months on end and eventually not think, maybe I could have a little drink. You cannot put yourself in an environment over and over and over again. So how do you expect that as we indulge in worldly entertainment and worldliness over the week, that we expect to come into the presence and power of God on Sunday morning and feel Him? I'm telling you, there has to be a perspective shift to that I'm living for something more powerful. I'm living for something more eternal. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5 says, you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. What's more, you are holy priest. You are His holy priest. Paying the cost of the gospel is not a punishment. It is a privilege. It is a privilege that us as sinful humans, born into the sinful nature of God that deserves nothing but a burning hell for eternity, it is a privilege that we can offer the cost of the gospel and obtain favor from a creator to take us into an eternal reward. This world may see loss when you give up the cost of the gospel, but heaven sees honor. That's why the Bible says that angels, all of heaven, rejoice when one sinner comes. When one 7 billion people in this world and one person accepts Christ and follows Christ and accepts the cost of the gospel, and all of heaven has a party. That's why when we baptize somebody in Jesus' name, you better believe I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to dance. I'm going to celebrate. You better believe when somebody receives the powerful gift of the Holy Ghost, we're going to celebrate. We're going to dance. You better believe when somebody that's hurting comes to the altar, we're going to dance. And we're going to, if heaven does it, we ought to. Amen.
Yes.
We've been called into the priesthood. Peter says we're a priest. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. We're chosen for spiritual sacrifice. We're offering sacrifice that we make to God for God's sake. We become the part of His kingdom and His temple. The cost positions us closer to God's presence. When we share in Christ's suffering, as 1 Peter 4 and 13 says, it tells us to be glad when we face trial, because it partners us with Christ. You see, there's a difference. I had a gentleman, I would consider him a friend, a mentor. He totally changed my mind one day when he said, "Could you stop asking God to use you and start asking God to partner with you?" Because his thought and his explanation of that was that we come into church and we, even out in our jobs and our places where we are working or in school, we ask, "God, use me today." And it's almost as we're saying it as a willing vessel. Yes, of course, absolutely. Use me today. But it's almost like you use it and then set it off to the side when you use something. Use it for the purpose and then you're done with it. But what you ask God to partner with you, it's like a hand in hand, an arm in arm, a walking beside, an empowering together that we say, "God, I want to partner with you." And those trials, they help us to partner with God. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's no greater honor than to be identified with Jesus. There's no greater honor than them to look at you and say, "Sister Kristen, I know you walk with the Lord." There's no greater honor than for them to say, "McKenna, you show the love of Christ." To be identified with Christ is the greatest honor we could ever receive. And while the world may dishonor us for our decision to walk and accept the cost of the gospel, in eternity, God places honor upon us. That's why He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. You accept the cost of the gospel, I'm going to build mansions. I'm going to make streets of gold, walls of jasper, sea of glass." He's going to give you the best of the best, because you accepted the cost of the gospel. Not only is He going to give you the best of the best, He's going to allow you to sit around and praise Him all eternity long. Man, I can't wait to get to heaven. You see, if heaven is something you dread going to, friends, you need to change your mind. You need to change your focus. Temporary suffering cannot compare to our eternal glory. The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God shall do," or what we shall be. You see, the martyrs of the early church went to their deaths singing. Not because pain wasn't real, they very much did feel the persecution, but because that honor was greater. Stephen, the first martyr, you've heard me preach about him when I preached on stopping the ears. Do you remember that? When the people stopped their ears when Stephen was preaching and they stoned him. They didn't want to hear the gospel. Stephen, his martyrdom is something unique. Because the people who stoned Stephen, they were wearing their garments, their cloaks, their coats, the Bible calls it. And they were kind of restricted by those coats. And they wanted to really throw those stones at Stephen and really do damage. So they took off their coats and they gave them to a man, Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was known for persecuting Christians, those who followed Christ. He held the coats of those who persecuted Stephen, watched it happen, encouraged it. After that, Paul began a journey of finding Christians and persecuting them until their death. Until one day, he's walking down the road of Damascus, and he sees a bright light. And he says, and it blinds him. And he says, "What in the world is going on?" And the voice from the light and above says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now I want you to know something. Saul of Tarsus thought he was doing the will of God. Go read the book of Acts. He believed he was doing God's work. These people were heretics. They don't need to be spreading such lies. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Him knowing how supernatural this moment was, he said, "Lord, Lord, who are you?" And that voice said, "I am Jesus, who you're persecuting." And that moment, Saul became Paul. And he walked back into the same buildings, synagogues, houses. He destroyed families, persecuted families. Walked back into those communities a changed man, preaching the gospel of Jesus because he understood the cost of the gospel. Do you know why that light changed him? Do you know why when Jesus said, "I'm Jesus," he persecuted? Do you know why? Because the last thing Stephen said, and Paul heard it, "I see Jesus sitting on the throne." And so Paul, through the persecution, the cost of the gospel Stephen paid, Paul was purchased. And I'm here to ask you today, is that the cost of the gospel, the sacrifice that you make for the gospel, who will it purchase? The cost of your rejection, will it purchase a Paul for this generation? The cost of holiness, will it purchase a Paul for this generation? The cost of suffering, will it purchase a Paul for this generation? It's as a soldier who's asked to guard the king's chamber. It requires sacrifice, attentiveness, and dedication, but it is considered the highest honor. And that's what it is to pay the cost of the gospel. But as I said earlier, Christ is not asking us to pay a cost that he himself was not willing to pay. He personally carried, 1 Peter 2:24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we that are dead to sin can live for what is right. We must never forget that our cost is small compared to his. As we sang this morning that great old song, it's the precious blood. It's nothing but the blood. Our salvation was not purchased with perishable things like gold and silver, which value is only entailed by which the world places on it. But it was with the priceless blood of Christ. And matter of fact, the blood of Christ was the only currency heaven understood. Was the only currency heaven understood was poured out on Calvary. The exchange of that cost was it would take our sins away, that we could take on his righteousness. He bore shame so that we can receive honor. He died so that we can live. The cross was the payment. His suffering gives us meaning to our life. His suffering, he carried the heaviest load so that we could just carry a temporary cross with joy on this earth so that we could have eternity, so that we didn't bear the weight of our sin for eternity. Because friend, I don't know if you know this, but without him, you will pay a cost. Without him, you will pay a cost. There is a greater cost than this gospel. And that is that 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10, after we have suffered a little while, he will restore us, support us, and strengthen us. And he will place you on a firm foundation. Peter is showing us in 1 Peter that we have to change our look and outlook and perspective from the temporary suffering to an eternal reward. Because without Christ, suffering never ends. The ultimate cost without Christ, the ultimate cost of not accepting the gospel, is eternal separation from God. Eternal separation from God. Hell is not temporary, friend. I don't care what religion or what pastor or what anybody else says. There are people that believe hell is not real. Hell is only temporary. That you will be annihilated into some black abyss. No, friend. The Bible is clear. Hell is real and it is hot. And it is eternal. Therefore, I cannot risk not paying the cost of the gospel for the mere 80 years that I would statistically have on this earth. That is a limited and temporary cost to eternity. Hell is the eternal payment for this temporary decision. With Christ, the cost is temporary. Peter calls in that scripture I just read in chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. Peter calls that suffering just a little while. Our suffering may last years, but compared to eternity, that is only a moment. The cost of the gospel is surrender. Sacrifice, holiness. The cost of rejecting the gospel is total, eternal loss. Which cost will you choose? You have a choice today, friend. What cost will you pay? Much more, probably a silly, not adequate for sure analogy, but I would say the cost of hell and eternal loss is like me being stuck in a stadium, forced to pay too much for too little. As we stand across the room today, I want you to understand this. Paying the cost of the gospel, it is not a burden. It is a blessing. Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Jesus paid the ultimate cost so that you and I can live. Whether you are a Christian for the last 500 years or you've been a Christian for the last 5 minutes, you still need to understand the cost of the gospel. It should not be past you to understand the weight in which you accept this cost. The price of eternity without him is far too high. Therefore, every sacrifice we make is worth it. My closing verse today is 1 Peter 1 and 8. You love him, even, that's Christ. You love him even though you've never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust Him. And you rejoice with a glorious and inexpressible joy. Today, whether you claim to have already been following this gospel and this path of the gospel or not, as I did this week, what I want you to do is really ask yourself, do I want to do this? Because, friend, what I found is that if I decide not to preach the truth, if I decide not to share the truth, I not only put my soul in jeopardy, but I risk my kids being lied to. I risk their kids not ever knowing. And I risk a generation that would never remember a preacher that would stand up. And I'm not talking about a preacher that would stand behind this pulpit. No, no, friend. I'm talking about a preacher in the home that would say, I'm going to stand up. And if my kids eventually reject this, it ain't going to be on me because I understand the cost of the gospel. And I'm going to pay that price. Because I love Him, even though I've never seen Him. And I trust Him, even though I've never seen Him. And I promise you, though I've never seen Him, I'm going to rejoice with glorious and inexpressible joy.